rich is not sinful, but pursuing riches is.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant reminds us that this world has rejected God's Word in so many ways, including the matter of finances. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings to a conclusion his message listing three biblical life principles taken from the text of 1 Timothy 6 that can defeat the world's mistaken ideas about money and wealth and enable the believer to enjoy the peace of handling money God's way. Here now is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, Handling Money God's Way.
You don't have to pursue, young men, young women, older folks, you do not have to pursue wealth because God can bless us abundantly if He so chooses. Being rich is not sinful, but pursuing riches is. When you go home, Google R.G. Letourneau. I remember reading the story of R.G. Letourneau when I was still a teenager, because this is one of the real amazing stories. R.G. Letourneau dropped out of school in the sixth grade. He didn't have a college education. And, his sister went as a missionary, and he was about to offer himself as a missionary candidate. And his pastor said, God uses business people too. And so R.G. Letourneau eventually went into business, and he made God his partner. And you'll find out that God became 90% partner, which means 90% of everything that was made went to God, and he kept 10%. R.G. Letourneau, this sixth grade dropout, God gave him such incredible ability that he was able to design all the stuff for earth-moving equipment, 300 patents. By God's grace, he was able to have 300 patents for earth-moving equipment. The World War II, they'll tell you, the Allies' success in World War II are partly attributed to R.G. Letourneau, because he was the one who created all the equipment that they used to go through all these mountains, to cut through roads, to build everything. Listen, today he's still regarded as the most amazing person in the history of earth-moving equipment. Listen, he was able to give, by God's grace, in today's dollars, over $500 million to Christian work. God can bless you and make you exceedingly rich. Being rich is not sinful, but pursuing riches is. Listen, if you don't pursue riches and God blesses you, don't feel guilty. Amen? Don't let anybody make you feel guilty, because it is up to God to do that. But listen, I got to change gears here, because there is a very important principle that I don't want you to miss. Write this one down. Complacency will also prevent true contentment. Now, that's one that too often we don't mention in preaching, but complacency will also prevent true contentment. Let me put Proverbs 1:32 on the screen for you. And here's how Proverbs 1:32 reads. It says this: for the waywardness of the naive will kill them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will do what? Will destroy them. I fear that sometimes, in some cultures, the problem is not so much pursuing riches. Quite often, the problem is complacency. You say, Pastor, what is complacency? Let me give you the Brian Grant definition of complacency. Do you mind my definition? Put this on the screen for me, please. Complacency is to be self-satisfied with how things are without thought of how things may be improved. Oh, did you get that? Complacency is to be self-satisfied with how things are without thought of how things may be improved. I got a job that's paying me $14 an hour, and I'm able to meet all my bills. I ain't certainly going to look for one that may pay me $20 because I may be pursuing riches. I'm joking now. I dropped out of school. Perhaps if I went back, I could improve things, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pursue anything. Listen, complacency is deadly. God has given us talents and abilities, and He has put us all in places, and He expects us to seek to accomplish all He designed us for. Young people, I hope you're getting that. You know, some of us were born in environments where we were given and encouraged to dream and to explore why God made me, to be all that God wants me to be. And I just want to encourage you, listen, God is saying that pursuing riches is not the way, but the same book that says pursuing riches is not the way is the same book that says that complacency is not the way. And I believe I'm speaking to some folks right here this morning that if you're honest before God, you would have to admit you are complacent. You're dreaming and just cruising through life. Well, for me, this is a big deal because it's personal. I'll never forget, I was about 32 years old, and God had blessed me. I had done well in the career, and we were walking in Center City, and I can remember right now, and one of my mentors, he was older than I was, and he said to me, Brian, what is your goal for next year? How much increase would you like to make in what you are making? And I said to him, to be honest with you, I'm really not looking for an increase. Once I can keep up with inflation, I said, all I want to do is keep up with inflation. And of course, while I'm saying this, I'm thinking of the verse. I'm feeling good about myself, that godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm actually thinking about that verse as I'm answering. And I'm feeling so good how content I am that I don't even want to make any more money. And I'm really feeling good. It's amazing, though, some of you realize that a lot of the things I will say, that God will actually use my own words to challenge me. And so later on, God says to me, you're not content. You're complacent. You're just satisfied and okay with things are. You have not even explored why I put you here. You know, it's amazing. At that time, we hadn't even thought of opening a business, creating opportunity for other people. You realize I was just cruising along, and God challenged me. And the result of that challenge, I moved in another direction, and soon we were able to open this business that God has blessed and allowed so many other individuals to get opportunity. And I just want to say to you, my brother and sister, don't be complacent. Don't just sit at ease. Don't pursue wealth, but don't be complacent. You need to make sure you're achieving what God put you here for, that you're maximizing the talents and abilities that God has given you. Don't be at ease in Zion. Pursue what God has given you. John Wooten, the late basketball coach who was a committed Christian, he once said that peace of mind is a direct result of self-satisfaction. And here's what he said. In knowing you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. You like that? That you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. Listen, I want to encourage you to do everything that God has opened doors and has blessed you and gifted you to do. For some of that, it means that instead of pursuing a career, we're going to offer ourselves to God and say, God, yes, I'm willing to go to serve you with my life because you have blessed me and you have given me all these capabilities that I can use in your work. Listen, that's part of it. Don't just sit. Part of the reason why many are not serving the Lord in some other ways is because we are complacent. We're just at ease. But what a wonderful thing it is to know that God has stretched you and has used you. But so what have we said so far? We have said so far that two big principles, that handling money God's way, listen, we must cultivate discernment in giving, and we must develop a spirit of contentment. Because unless we develop this spirit of contentment, money will control us. I hope you understand the purpose for this big principle. The purpose for this big principle of developing a spirit of contentment is that money does not control us, and we don't do crazy things for money, and that we have a proper perspective and a proper balance in life. We're not working all the time because of money. But here's the third thing. If we're going to use money God's way, we must cultivate a life of godliness. Because unless we cultivate a life of godliness, listen, when we do this, it will ensure we use our money to glorify God. Here's the first sub-point I want to bring as we talk about cultivating a life of godliness. Godliness requires, the text says here, I put it in my words, what the word says. Godliness requires that we share our wealth. Amen. Godliness requires that we share our wealth. Look at with me at verse 17. Command those. That's a strong word. We better pay attention here. Paul tells the apostle, command those who are rich. Are you rich? Well, I tell you, they tell us that, that just about everybody here compared to the rest of the world is rich. So you may as well fess up. It's you they're talking about. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Part of what he's telling us here is that wealth has wings. Did you see that? So you don't trust in uncertain riches, because wealth has wings. And no matter how rich we are, it could disappear tomorrow. I tell you, when the stock market crashed in 2008, you know, people literally committed suicide. Some of the big financiers in the world were jumping out of windows on Wall Street because they lost so much money overnight. You see, we better stop trusting in uncertain riches and fully trust in God. Amen? And if we're fully trusting in God, we will freely share what He has blessed us with. Amen? A pig was complaining to a cow that he was not appreciated. The pig said, "People are always talking about how generous you are, Mr. Cow. They say you give them milk and you give them cream and you give them butter. But I believe I give more than you, because I give them ham and I give them bacon. And for the Jamaicans, I give them pig trotters." Oh, that's pig's feet for you Yankees. I give them some pig feet. I give them ham and bacon and pig's feet. Well, the cow answered him, "Perhaps the reason is because you do all your giving when you die." "But I give generously even while I'm alive." You know, some people don't mind giving generously when they die. But no matter how much they have, they find it hard to be generous while they're still alive. Is that you? Are you like the pig? You know, some Christians are like the pig. They're waiting until they die to give generously But I tell you, when we are fully aware of who we are in Christ and of all God has done for us and of all God has blessed us with, listen, we should be willing to be generous in supporting God's work and in helping those in need. Amen. But let me bring this message to a close. One last point. Because cultivating godliness not only requires sharing our wealth, it requires pursuing Christ. You see, it's good that we learn how to make sure that we don't mess up, and give to the wrong people. It's good that we recognize that we should not pursue riches. But the most important thing that I am saying this morning is simply this. Godliness requires that we pursue Christ. Look with me at verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But you, O man of God, flee these things. He's just finished talking about pursuing wealth. He says, flee all those things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Paul was formerly one of the leading persecutors of Christians, as we all know. But one day, as he was on the road to Damascus to persecute more Christians, he was boiling in hate against Christ and against Christians. He was mad. But one day, in his anger, as he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus called his name. Oh, I hear, I can, in my mind as I said that, I remember the little song, I heard somebody call my name. My friend, I want you to know that today Jesus is calling somebody's name. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He's calling your name. You may be on the internet. So far, you may have been one of those that have been angry with God. You may even have been a church member. It doesn't matter. But the Jesus who called Paul's name is calling your name. He's inviting you to come to Him this morning because He's willing to totally transform your life. Amen. You know, once Paul became a Christian, his life was totally transformed. Oh, if we had time, we'd look at some of the passages to show the intense suffering the Apostle Paul experienced as he pursued Christ. But listen, he did not flinch, for he had come to realize that knowing Jesus was worth it all. Have you come to that realization that knowing Jesus is worth it all? Are you pursuing Christ? And in these verses, as he wraps up this book of 1 Timothy, Paul challenged every Christian to make a commitment to pursue righteousness and godliness. And this morning, as we bring this series to an end, he's challenging you and he's challenging me to make a commitment to pursuing righteousness and godliness. You say, Pastor, you don't know my background. I'm just glad I'm a Christian. But if you never know all the mess I've been in, if you ever know my life story, you'd realize this is the best I can do. You realize I just don't have the ability to be godly. I don't have the ability to live a righteous life. I'm just hanging on. You see, my friend, it's not really about your ability. You ever watch one of these commercials where they're trying to show you the power of a tow truck? I can see one of them now. What do I usually put there? Sometimes I'll put the tow truck is pulling something up the hill. Many times it's a boat. You ever seen one of them? They have a boat attached to a Dodge or a Ford. And they're going to show you how this Ford has pulling power. And up they go, the boat and the truck is pulling the boat up the hill. Did you realize the boat actually has no power at all? The boat is struggling up the hill, although it has absolutely no power. All the power the boat needs is under the hood of the truck. All the boat has to do is to make sure it is properly connected to the source of power, that Ford or Dodge Ram truck. My friend, you may have been messed up Your life may have been such terrible stuff. You've done so many terrible things. You may say, I don't have much education. You can tell me all of your stuff. But your ability to live a godly life is not depending on you and your history. It's depending to the source of power. And hallelujah, I know a man. His name is Jesus. Amen. I know a man named Jesus. And he has all the power. He says, all power is given unto me. He has all the authority. He has all the resources that you need and that I need for life and godliness. And all that I need to do is to make sure I am properly hitched to the truck, to hitch to Christ Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.